news, according to me. Well, I don't know if that worked out the way I wanted it to. It was, that was a song from back in the, boy, that was back in the day. I don't usually do that. I don't usually play something else like that at the beginning of the show. I'll probably get a copyright strike for that. I think I played it for 20 seconds or something, so that's probably too long. Who knows? Yeah, that was a big song back when I was a kid, about 75 years ago. That was a song that came out. The fun part about that, the sad part about that song, like many songs in the industry, have been remixed and remastered. Actually, mostly just remastered for purposes of radio and all kinds of other reasons, but they'll remix them. I should say remaster them. There's a difference between mixing and mastering. Because I was in the biz for a while, like many other things that I've done in my life. I was never a sound engineer. There's a couple different kinds of, you know, usually people when they record, let's just back up here. Let's talk about it a little bit because this leads to a really important story somewhere. Not my story, of course, but somebody's story. The way this works is you go into a recording studio, and the recording studio, you know, you lay down a track. It might be one instrument, or it might be, you know, might be singing. You know, it might have like more of an organic feel to it, where you've got your guitar and you got your singing, and the whole band plays all at the same time. There's a couple different ways of doing that. I mean, I think the Beatles actually made an album once where they never even saw each other during the entire recording of the album. They all came in and did their parts. And they were just recorded that way. Is it Abbey Road Studios? Is that where that was? Where that was done? I believe Alan Parson was part of that. The Alan Parson Project. Yeah, if you have anyway. Yeah, so what they do is they would come in and they would lay down a track, and you'd record that track, and then you'd mix all these tracks together and kind of get the song to sound the way you want it to. But that wasn't all there was to it. I mean, you'd kind of engineer each track individually a little bit, so you get the sound, the song the way you want it to be. And then they would master it. There was a guy who would come in. It was usually a different person that would do all the mastering. And what they would do is they would compress certain frequencies and bring up certain things and tune certain things to sound a certain way so that it sounded good for radio. It had to have a full sound for radio. And I was given a demonstration of this there's a place called Sweetwater, which is not very far away from me here in Fort Wayne. And, well, I'm not here in Fort Wayne. It's down in Fort Wayne. I'm northwest of there about an hour. But the place is called Sweetwater. They're extremely highly proficient professional facility regarding music, recording, sound, whatever you want to talk about. And they have this, they had this one seminar one time. Well, what was it called? Gear Fest. They have something every year called Gear Fest. So they just have all these representatives from all these companies come in, and you can talk to the people who make the products, and you can kind of, usually there's good deals that week. They haven't had it for the last couple of years, I think, because of COVID, but we'll see what happens this year. They kind of had an online thing last year, I think. It usually happens about this time of year, so it should be interesting to see. At least it's usually summertime, just when the summer breaks, usually. So we'll see what happens here, but I usually try to attend. It's usually a couple days long. And there's these little seminars. Well, this one guy gave this little seminar, and he was talking about, he's been around for years. He's like in his 60s or 70s. Old guy. Way too old to be out running around like that. And he gave a demonstration of the way the original soundtrack was done for what is it? I can feel it calling in the air tonight. That's what is it? What was it? Well, I don't want to get lost in trying to find names for people because then I'll go down. That's what causes me to go down bunny trails. So he was doing this demonstration. He was, you know, that's the one with the drums. I can feel it. You know, that whole thing. I won't break into song because then I'll have to change my whole career because I'll become famous for singing. So he gave the demonstration of the way it was originally mastered. And then he said that it's gone through three different masterings. And he played the original version of how it originally came out when it was put on an album, like vinyl originally, believe it or not. And then, of course, cassette tape and all that stuff. It wasn't quite in time for 8-track, but it did make it on vinyl. And so he played this thing, and it was so dynamic, it almost made your, it was like it gave you chills almost. Of course, now this was being played in an auditorium that was extremely well designed. In fact, the auditorium had active noise reduction in it. It had self-balancing, you know, active balancing, room balance type stuff. It also has, there's no wall that is parallel to another wall. In other words, everything is, you won't get any kind of, we call it buildup of any frequencies in any corners because none of the corners were square with anything else, which was, you know, great when you try to cut out drywall. That's the way a lot of old homes used to be built back in the day. You go to remodel a thing, it's like this, it's an inch longer on this side than it is on that side. The ceiling is an inch higher on that side than it is on this. And that's actually, acoustically, that is actually a very good thing because you don't get frequencies bouncing into certain ranges. Anyway, the whole studio was designed. So you're sitting in this studio and it's designed for this. Now they also have at every chair, you have a place where you can plug in a headphone set. And you can listen that way as well. So if you have really high quality headphones, you could listen to it and the same thing. But the room itself was so dynamically perfect. I mean, it was the closest thing I've ever been in to a perfect, high, dynamically set room. And they played this thing and it was unbelievable. And then he played the second rendering of it. And he ended up playing the last rendering, this last mastering that has happened with this song. And it was like the whole, it just was nothing. There was no dynamics to it at all. It was blonde. It was just, or bland. It was blonde, like me. I'm more gray than blonde now. But he really made the point that this is, it's interesting how that all happened. Anyway, when this song originally came out, now I think the one I just played you was the vinyl version. However, by the time it goes through compression, I played it from my computer here on YouTube. So you're not getting the original vinyl sound. The first time I heard it was on, I believe it was on cassette plate or cassette tape. And with the sound system that was in the vehicle that I was in at the time, that really deep thing there was incredible. It kind of made it would make your chest vibrate. It was so low and deep, and the dynamics were so. So the first time I heard that song, I just remember that everybody that was listening to it all laughed because it was kind of like well, that was kind of funny. We're just kids. I think we were probably, I don't know, high school, early high school. When was this thing put out? 1978. Yeah, I would have been in high school. Interesting. Anyway, it was by 11 Kisses, I think, is the name of the group. And it was, let's see if I can find it here. Oh, yeah. It was Casablanca Records, Filmworks Productions. And I think this was a song that was written for a film or it was used in a film. But I'm pretty sure it was written for a film. Anyway, And the reason that that's important, the reason I want to bring up this story was because they talked a lot about what was in my cup. So, and I do have, this morning I have chai. Same vanilla chai I had yesterday. I'm getting into a rut, 2 days in a row here. Vanilla chai with French vanilla creamer in it, with real cream. By the way, it's made from real milk. It says right on the side of it. If it says it, it must be so. Much like, you know, Fiona Hill, same thing. If she says it, it must be so. Because she said it. And she has a British accent. I have some things on the docket this morning. First of all, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's we're coming up on, this evening will be Shabbat. For those of you who know what that is, it happens every week. Shabbat is the Sabbath. Now, for those of you who've been in the Christian church and you think that Shabbat was changed, I dare you to explore that a little further. You've been misled. Now, when you take Shabbat, it's your business. It's when you take a Sabbath is your business. But the actual Shabbat is on Saturday, folks. Sundown on Friday night. I think it's important that you know that. I can't get into it right now, but it's important that you know that. Anyway, the apparently Blinken has decided, stinking Blinken has decided that they're, you know, since I got myself back in my high school years here, I got to talk like a high school punk kid. High school punk. I almost said high school punk. That's part of my crotchety old man is beginning to unfold.
You crazy kids, get off my lawn. You get out of here. Those crazy kids. Confounded kids. What's the matter with these kids nowadays?
More money now in the form of food relief being sent to Ukraine in the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, they had the big one, you know, the $40 billion. Now, apparently that made it through then, I guess, despite some of the pushback from a handful of senators, about 9 or 10 of them, 12, something like that. Pushing back because they wanted was accountability. And the powers that be didn't want that. No, we have to push it through right now. We can't tag anything onto this at all. No accountability. Just put the money in a tube and launch it over there. We don't care where it goes because, you know, half of it's going to go back into my campaign fund. It's going to go back to my bag people. They're going to do some work on my house for me. Somehow my great-grandkids are going to have their college paid for at Cambridge. Not sure how that works. This is exactly what happens, folks. You can't watch $1 billion. It just filters out and trickles out into. This is called trickle down, folks. This is the real trickle down. It's trickle out, trickle spill, whatever you want to call it. These people can't manage $40, let alone $40 billion. They just make it so. Just send $40 billion over there. We'll see what happens. See where that goes. We'll have people to take care of all that stuff. Who are these people taking care, watching over all these funds? Who's writing the checks? And who all is it going to? You realize how many shell companies there are? How many phony companies there are in Ukraine? How many of them are set up with ties back to politicians in this country and other countries? Do you have any clue as to what's going on there? This is the whole Hunter Biden. He was the tip of the iceberg. If you think Hunter was the only one over there getting money for influence, he was just playing along with a game that was already going on. Ukraine has been known to be that's why Zelensky was one of the it was such a shocking change when he got elected, because he was like the underdog guy that was supposedly going to try to clean up some of the corruption over there. Good for him, but that's why it was so shocking, is because the country is so corrupt. Now, part of my speculation, this is just me. I'm not a geopolitical expert, nor am I a doctor or a lawyer or a financial counselor or any kind of, I don't even qualify to be a fly swatter in a pigsty. But I do have a microphone, and I've got some opinions, and I plug them into my mouth and I throw them out to the microphone. The microphone goes out there into the interwebs, and then all you people hear it, it bounces off your ears. And you all nod and say, oh, that's brilliant, Kevin. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for that insight. So this place has been used for millions of hours. I don't know, days, months, whatever, years. It's been years. And it's my speculation that Putin was involved in all this stuff. The oligarchs around him, all the people with money, have been involved in the corruption that's going on there. He's been skimming off this whole thing for a while, too. My guess is there's ties in political. This whole thing is a mixed bag of just a whole lot of money flying around over there. And here's what my speculation is. Zelensky was disrupting some of this stuff. And when we had Zelensky on top of the whole thing with what Trump was doing to Russia, he was boxing them in. He was disrupting trade with China. He was disrupting things with all over the place where there was all this imbalance and corruption going on. He was pushing back against some of that stuff. He was kind of holding some people accountable in some ways. And here's the deal. Here's what ended up happening. They ended up putting the squeeze on. Well, as soon as Trump was out of office, Putin, with the weak, when he saw basically the people who are involved in this whole thing, it was his opportunity to now go in and put in a different sock puppet, much like we have here, into leadership. He just thought that Zelensky was going to run. The Russians are coming. I'm going to leave. Kyiv will fall. And we'll just step in and put our leader in there and this will all be over with. That's not what happened. And now they're just trying to put the hurt on. That just increases their resolve. It's one of those weird things where, you know. Well, I think George W. Bush put it best when he said that, you know, a leader just decides on his own to go in and invade Iraq. Iraq too. Yeah. I'm 75. I'm trying to make a joke out of it. We lost 4,000 soldiers. Hundreds of thousands of lives taken, disrupted, affected, let alone all the people who were, not just the people who were killed, but whose lives were changed forever because they lost limbs. So that's a joke to George Bush. So we're sending food over there now, even though, in spite of the fact that we have rampant inflation here, no baby formula, which was a debacle from the federal organization overseeing the whole thing to begin with. They knew this was coming. They did nothing. Now they've invoked the Emergency Powers, Industry Powers Act, Production Act, or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. too little too late, in my opinion, is this going to be. And all we hear from the right, of course, is, oh, there's no baby formula. Oh, these, it's okay, well, it's, you know, the blame game is great. It's, you know, we can blame it on whoever, but let's feed the kids here. Let's get to work and feed the kids, and then we'll deal with the mess that has been made by the powers that be, who decided that at all costs we must get Trump out of the Oval Office because, you know, mean tweets. We have to unleash a plague on the world, make it look like it's all, everything's his fault. It's all the Republicans' fault. Republicans are all, we'll get into this a little bit later. We're going to talk about this whole replacement theory thing. Because everybody's talking about it. But getting back to the whole Ukraine thing, I think that's why Putin went into Ukraine. He was trying to reestablish the whole money laundering scheme that goes on there because he was, it's all about him and his, you know, what he's doing with his money. And it's not turning out the way he wanted it to. Well, in the process, now we're sending all these billions of dollars over there who are going to where? I don't know. Are we sent? Who exactly is in need of the money? And what is the money going to do there? Are we giving them money so that they can buy weapons from our military-industrial complex? Because, you know, that wouldn't be a conflict of interest now, would it, when you've got military complex funding going back to certain political candidates and campaigns? Mostly the establishment that then sends them to war so they can do more with the all that stuff. I'm just saying, you know, this is all speculation on my part because, like I said, I'm not a geopolitical expert of any kind. I can barely, you know, drink out of this cup without drooling. Now, the other side of this is I do have another cup, a backup cup. I have a backup cup with sweet tea. Yesterday, I made sweet tea. When I'm home, I like to make my own sweet tea. And if I'm home for a couple days, and I decided that I would make my own sweet tea. And here it is. It's in my cup. I'll be going over to the international studios later on, the worldwide headquarters of The News According to Me. And I don't think I'll do another show because I've got way too much going on today. There was a lot of things I wanted to get done today, and then I have another family things to attend to. Someone died. I guess I have to go to that funeral. So it's more of a memorial. Not really. It's hard to. It's got kind of torn apart between time spent. How much time, I get very little time to spend at home anymore these days, and having the time, basically a whole day kind of taken pulled out from under me here. I mean, I have 2 days home. One of them now is kind of shot. It's not his fault. It's not. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's really very difficult to wrestle with time and priorities sometimes. You know, it almost gets to the point where you just want to give up. I mean, you don't do anything because you're so overwhelmed by everything. So then nothing gets done. That's how that works. By the way, it's 6:39 in the morning. I started this about 6 a.m. this morning. I got down here and started kind of pushing buttons, getting things ready to go. And that's early for me to get started on the show here this morning. But I found that one of the things I want to talk about the show a little bit because I'm my own sponsor. So I thought I was on iHeartRadio. And I'd like to welcome all of you who now are listening to me on iHeartRadio. I was under the understanding that when I was in Podbean, it was automatically submitted to iHeartRadio. Apparently, it was not. Well, I just discovered this yesterday, 2 days ago, and it was actually published then yesterday. Yesterday's show was published on iHeartRadio. Now I've noticed that listenership has already gone up, so that just means that. Of course, now that iHeartRadio, apparently I have an audience there that I more people listening there that I didn't know. So welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy the show. Hope you share it with all your friends or your enemies. And just whoever, just share it with everybody. And like and subscribe and all that stuff. You know what they tell you, you know, the thumb up thing and all that stuff. They get it, yeah. You can do whatever you want. You can download it. You can upload it. You can sideload it. Whatever you want to do. That's up to you. What I do know is looking at the little charts and graphs here, it's kind of spiked up a little bit there. I assume that has something to do with that. There's a couple other places that it looks like I can submit it to. I have never heard of them, but maybe it's just because I'm probably just kind of an old man. We'll see what happens. I see there's a, I need to re-sign in on there. Okay, I won't bother you with all my, I am my own administrator. So in the background, everything that's going on is also, you know, I'm juggling a lot of things here. So, well, yeah, sure enough, there's a whole lot more. Yeah, there's more followers and there's definitely more downloads now. Interesting. That is very interesting. I may have, if I have a show later on today, it may be a live show, but I'm not too, the day is piling up. I don't know that much to do. Anyway, I want to get on with some of the things that I actually have a list of things here, a list of little topics I want to talk about for sure. I want to close out the week here with, I just want to forget anything because I know that all of you are wondering what you're supposed to think and I'm here to tell you. Yeah, right. I think that's isn't that what Mika or whatever her name is? Brzezinski or whatever her name is. Joe Scarborough's, is it his wife? On Morning Joe. You can tell she runs that show. She runs his life. She's in charge. He pretends like he was once a Republican. He's one of the biggest phonies on the planet. So we have more money going to Ukraine for food, which is, you know, something everybody's looking for here. We have Republicans I want to jump right into this whole replacement theory thing. There's a couple things that this kind of plays off of, and I think it's riding piggyback on something that's been called something else. But let's see what we have here. There's something called replacement theology. And it is specific here in the United States specifically, but it has spread to some other places in the world. This idea, and my Catholic friends they struggle with things I say about the Catholic Church sometimes. Now, this actually was started by the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, most of the denominations and religious organizations we have in this country in terms of theological churches, if you want to call them that, the organizations we have here in the country have been Reformed Catholicism, not fulfilled Judaism. There's a difference. What I'm saying is that they've taken the Catholic doctrine and reformed it and tried to bring it back to more of an original Judaic roots type thing, or at least a biblical roots type thing. However, they leave out the Judaic part of it. The Jewish part of it. Jesus happened to have been a Jew. He was born a Jew, raised as a Jew. He taught as a Jew. He died as a Jew. And he's coming back, apparently, as a guy with a pointy white hat. I don't know. I don't understand that. that he's somehow going to reject his the people that he, I don't know. You see, there's a little bit of a contradiction here. And call it what you will. I'm not going to call anybody names or state anything about any kind of bigotry here. However, there are factions within the Catholic Church that it's very silent, silently done. But there's this idea that, I'm not going to dig into that. I'm just not going to dig into it tonight. I'm just not going to go down that road. Replacement theology is this idea that the Christians are now God's chosen people and that the Jews are not. This stems from an extreme ignorance. Now, when I say ignorance, I just mean lack of understanding and knowledge on the subject. Easy to do in our particular culture because we are raised in this, as I was, this biblical idea that there was somehow no correlation, no relation to the Judaic roots that we have as Christians. As Christians, we are engrafted into the Judaic branch. And by faith, we are children of Abraham. We sing that song.
My father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you.
Yeah, well, that's what we are. By faith, we are engrafted into the branch. We are his chosen people. And the difference between us and the Jews is that we believe in Messiah, and they do not. Now, there are Messianic Jews, Jews who believe Jesus is Messiah. We would be the same belief system as them, basically. That's the way we're supposed to be. Now, there are some who still practice the law. They are, shall I say, Torah observant? I don't want to get into this too far because there's kind of some different definitions of that. There are some who follow Torah, follow the law, and also believe in Messiah. I get that. And yet, you need to be very careful with that. Because you can go down this road of thinking that somehow you're going to add to what Christ did on the cross. What Yeshua did on the cross. And that is, that's worse than spitting on him while he's on the cross. That you think you're going to do something more to enhance your right standing with God or your salvation in some way. Because all of your hope and your righteousness is based on who he is, what he did on the cross. Nothing you did other than receive and accept it. Because in receiving and accepting it, you are acknowledging and confessing and agreeing that you need that. That what he did is sufficient. So, I don't like to go down this road very often of theology and all this stuff. But at some point, for those of you who have some self-awareness and you realize that you're selfish, you're a selfish individual and that you need, that you're kind of a mess and that you need, you can't do this on your own. There's no way you can attain or achieve enough goodness to impress God. Once you get to that point, then you realize, hey, that I need a Savior. And he's already provided one, and I'll just accept that and receive it. So that is replacement theology. And there's also something called Black Liberation Theology, which is a very twisted and very I'm going to call it what it is. So I don't care what you think. But it's very demonic. You can delve into it on your own. All you have to do is watch a few YouTube videos, and you'll realize at its core, it is a very twisted, very it's very twisted. So we have this stuff going on. Now there's this one lady. So now they're doing this whole thing with replacement theology. This is all they have to hang themselves on. Now there's a video. I want to play this because I forgot to turn my phone on here. I forgot to turn my I have this video right here of a. Is this it right here? I do need to attach my phone. I forgot to do this. I was setting all this stuff up, and I totally forgot to do this. So I need to connect that. There we go. Now you can listen to this. This is a video of. This was actually taken from. I appreciate. Let me pull this up here real quick. Larry Elder had this on. Oh, it's I think it's playing. Hold on a second. I didn't want to do that. Okay, get the.
There we go. You take this heinous platform and you make the Republicans own it. I want to say it again. Make the Republicans own it. Every Republican politician, every Republican candidate, ask them about it. Make it because they can't run from it because it's part of who they are at this point, as disgusting as that is. But make it the Republican replacement theory. Mainstream it because this is the way you have to scare. We don't have the economy on our side as Democrats. So you have to scare the bejesus out of people. The way to scare it is say, you know, this replacement theory, this is not just coming from some dark corner of the web. This is the Republican.
This is the Republican Party. They actually said it out loud. He actually just said it all out loud. Listen to, if you pay attention, you can go back and rewind that if you want to. I might play it again just because it's I think it's so critical that we understand what's going on here. These individuals are desperate. The Democrat Party right now, not the Democratic Party. Everything I hear, I keep hearing this. It's actually getting to the point now where it's really starting to annoy me. The Democratic Party. No, it's the Democrat Party. Look at their name, the Democrat Party. The Democrat National Committee. They are Democrats, not Democratics. They like using the word Democratic a lot more, the Democratic Party, because we're Democratic. No, you're Democrats. And there's a reason for the distinction, and I won't get into that today. At some point, I'll have a whole show about it, because it's really important you understand there's a difference. And the reason that they're using the word democratic is for there's a ploy behind that. I guarantee you, there people are back there. They like to use that word a lot more. It's no coincidence. It's working its way around the globe that way. They're pinning this, and you listen to how he said that. They need to pin this on the Republican Party because they need to own it because this is the way they are. Now, there's a couple things here I'd like to talk about with this. I don't know if I even got time. I only got 20 minutes left in my show here. I've talked way too much about my cup. They need to pin replacement theology, or this replacement theory is what it is. This idea that Republicans are white supremacists, or that we are concerned, we're scared, we're terrified of this idea of the browning of America, these are terms they use. Everything they talk about is about race. The Republicans that are talking about this, and Stephen Crowder actually made a really good, and so did Larry Elder as well, made a very good distinction about the difference between the way conservatives and Republicans in general, the general population, I think, thinks about race and politics. just because you're black or just because you're from south of the border, Mexican, Native American, just because you are those things, if you want to identify in those groups, just because you're in that group, like they want to throw you into, does not mean you will automatically vote Democrat. They like to think so. They like to think they own you, that they're the party for you, because that keeps them at the top. All these white people at the top maintain their power. You notice they're not stepping down and saying, oh, well, let's let them be in. No, they don't do that. They're going to fight for you. They're on the inside. They're fighting for you, so that they can stay in power over you. They continue to take you for granted, is what they do. And everything that they do hurts you the most. They'll pretend like they're giving you rights. They're, oh, we're standing up for your rights, and we're going to protect you, and we're going to make sure that we can tax the rich. We're going to get off those rich people. How's that working out for you? How are their policies and principles working out for you now when you go to the gas station, when you're trying to feed your baby, trying to pay your taxes, sending your kids off to war? These people are blatant liars, blatantly liars. I don't know that they even understand or realize that they're just living in fantasy land and telling all these lies. I don't even know. I don't know if you could understand that. I think they live in this fantasy world. It's not even a fantasy, really. It's just this narrative that they live in. And this becomes so often, it becomes the kind of thing where if we say it enough times, it'll make it so. The tail wagging the dog, so to speak. Listen to the desperateness in his voice as he talks about this. To me, it becomes very obvious. We're not going to win on the economy. We're not going to win anything else. We have to pin this on them and scare the bejesus out of people. Since when is winning an election about scaring people? We have to use this to scare people. Who exactly is he scaring? Is he scaring people on the left or people on the right? Hold these politicians to it. Now, here's the problem that the Republican Party has and why it just might stick to them. The Republican Party, in the last year and watching everything go crumble, they are salivating at 2022, at the midterm elections. They can't wait for them. They wish they were held today, because it looks like they're going to win, because the economy's bad, because other things are bad, all the stuff that's going on. They can pin everything on the Democrats, and they think that's their ticket in. There's going to be this landslide. We're going to take the House and the Senate, and they just can't wait. They're going to win. What are you going to do with that win? And what are you exactly winning on? The fact that people are trying to desperately cling to something else? You know, when a person is drowning, the thing that's dangerous about being around a drowning person, and this is, as a lifeguard, I worked as a lifeguard for a while in several different venues, among other things. I'm not a professional lifeguard person, by the way. I've worked as one for a while, but not, you know, I don't do that anymore. So, as a lifeguard, one of the things that you are trained to do is to fend off a person who's drowning. Because you go to rescue a drowning person, they can kill you. They will try to crawl up on top of you and pull you down. They're trying to crawl out of the water. When they begin to panic, they go into this ladder crawling mode, where they're trying to crawl out of the water. They don't swim anymore. They don't relax. They just, they're crawling up anything that comes near them. They will crawl right up on top of you. Next thing you know, you're underwater and they're holding on to you. And you need to know how to get away from them, how to protect yourself from them while you're trying to save them. A panicking individual is, you know, panic never really saved anybody that I know of. It's not usually a good thing when that sets in. So you have this party, this political party that right now is panicking. They are going after and trying to pin this whole thing that happened in Buffalo. I've been looking at the comments and some of the things that are being said on some of these commentators that are on MSNBC and some of the things that are posting on YouTube here now. This is just one of them. He goes on to talk about this whole thing and how it's, you know, we need to, you know, that the Republican Party they're all about this. The Republican Party is all about being, they're all racist. If you're in the Republican Party, you're racist. And we need to make that the narrative and make that the definition of who the Republican Party is. That's where they're going with this. Now, what's bizarre about this, they're basically saying everybody in the Republicans are all white. They still have this narrative, this picture of the Republican Party being all white people, and they're all racist. That's where they go with this stuff. And they're getting away with it because they have the narrative going out there all the time. Now, what's weird about this is that most of the people pushing this narrative are all white. Now, there's some black ones out there, too, that do this. What's her name? Jill, what's her name? Oh, I don't know. There's a couple of them on MSNBC. There was recently the lady from Black Lives Matter, one of the founders, who, you know, her excuse for, you know, they had all this money coming in, hundreds of millions of dollars. Had all this money coming in, they didn't know what to do with it. So they're out blowing money, giving money to everybody, their friends and family to do different things, spending money on houses. They blamed it on the people giving them the money, basically. They basically said, well, we had all this money coming in, we didn't know what to do with it. All of a sudden, it just came in and overwhelmed us, and we didn't know what to do with it all. Maybe think about helping the families that that are destroying their neighborhoods, and maybe help it, you know, defend legal funds for people that just, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe something that involves, you know, helping the people you're talking about with all this, you know, this rampant, you know, because cops are out there shooting black people every day. Black people are being killed. Unarmed black people are being killed every day. They actually say those things. Now, in 2019, before all the riots, the year before, there were nine black people shot that were unarmed. But to hear them talk, there are thousands every year that are killed by police officers. And that is not the case. They just throw this stuff out there. There was a lady recently who said, "I don't want to when I go to the bathroom, I don't want to be tripping over people that are with coat hangers in the restroom." I don't know what restrooms you're going to, ma'am. I don't know where this, and why are they picking a public restroom for? What are you talking about? Maybe it is in a Democrat town. I don't know. Those cities are typically just a mess. I know my show's not very fun today, is it? I didn't say it was going to be, did I? I know there was no promises about my show being fun or funny. Used to be. When Rabbi Rick was here, we used to have a lot of fun with the show, but it was more about the election and all this crazy stuff that was going on at the time. Now it's just, we've descended into, you know, this is, if you think that January 6th was all about just getting Trump into office and white supremacy and fighting off the Browning of America, if that's what you think, then look around you and see what kind of an economic state we have. It was about policy, folks. It was about the rule of law and having integrity in our elections. That's what that was about. So replacement theory, now they're going after Tucker on this, and they're all, you should hear the rhetoric on MSNBC. Oh, now Tucker Carlson's reeling, and he's all upset about this because he can't back away. He's backpedaling, he's doing all this. No, these people are lunatics. They are lunatics. They're going to drive this narrative. They're saying that Fox News has blood on its hands from what happened in Buffalo. They are continuing down this road of Republicans are all racist. They're all scared that they're going to be replaced. While the Democrats think that being replaced or letting all these people in through the border is going to guarantee them power and the winning of elections. Because they've got millions of people coming in that are going to throw elections now. Because they assume, they take you for granted as you come across the border, that you're automatically going to vote for Democrats. Now, that may very well be. They're going to get a large majority of them because a lot of these people coming across the border are very easily swayed into the Marxist mentality. They have no understanding of what our principles are and the founding principles of this nation are. All they know is there's a lot of free stuff here. They're coming here to get it. Because they're desperate. Because the countries they were living in, they're despots, weren't giving them, they were trashing the country, which is exactly what's going to end up happening here, because we have the same kind of philosophical takeover of our government here. It's no longer based on personal responsibility and individual rights. It's just part, what group are you a part of? Well, you need to vote this way then. But this is what they're doing. This is their way. Now the thing that gets me about this is this, they're going to find that this isn't going to work. And when they realize the polls are shifting and they're not going to win just based on this racism idea. I think Republicans are more concerned about demographic shift and what the Democrats are doing with the demographics in terms of voter demographics. They want to do what they're doing to steal elections. That's what the concern is. It's a philosophical and policy issue. It's going to affect us all. I don't care whether there's more white people or black people in the country. That doesn't matter, or mixed race or whatever you want to call it. I don't care about that. I care about this philosophical thing that's happening. And the crazy lunatic radical leftists that are in the Democrat Party, the direction we're headed with this, that we're progressing in with this progressive movement. Here's an example. Fiona Hill. I keep dropping her name this morning. Fiona Hill is this. She has a British accent. She talks, I guess she worked in the Trump administration for a while. She was kind of an outsider, but she was there. There was this interview with her and some other lady from, I think it was Sky News, somebody from Britain or the UK somewhere. They both were, they're talking very, and she speaks with a very British accent, so she sounds more intelligent. She was interviewed. She was giving testimony to the January 6th committee. Now, she was let go by the Trump administration, by the way. This interview was so self-centered and so self-indulgent. She kept talking about what she was wearing and what she was allowed to wear during the Trump administration. She had to be concerned about what she wore when she was in the Trump White House. And then it was all about her. all about her and all and her everything about her. It was pathetic. There was no substance in this nothing about policy in this whole thing. It was how she felt and what she did as a woman and how she was accepted. And it's like, whether you're a woman or not, what's your policy? What do you believe here? And she gets up in front of the January 6th commission and she says, I have no interest in furthering the commission's direction one way or another. I am only here to tell the truth. No, ma'am, you have an agenda. You have implicit bias to the nth degree, and you don't even recognize it. You don't even realize it. You should have heard her talk about the way it was in the Obama administration. She was fawning all over the Obama administration and how she felt when she was working for the Obama administration. And then when she was working for the Trump administration, the differences between the two and how she felt about it, how she felt going in there. She's very well known to be a leftist ideologue. And she thinks that she's somehow neutral in any of this. That she's apolitical. She just wants the truth. She is absolutely, emphatically anti-Trump. There's no question. You can look at anything she's written. You know, I was thinking about this to change the subject real quick. Not to change the subject, but I'm going to change the subject. A couple other things. That, you know, there's the SCOTUS link. There's the billions to Ukraine now that's going to happen, apparently. The whole Elon Musk and Twitter thing and the Biden followers apparently are less than half what he claims he's got on Twitter. Which is kind of like the votes that he got. In the most secure election ever in history, by the way. Thanks to the mules. We have one of the questions, I guess this comes to the point of, if I would have been in interviewing, and I don't know that I would have thought of this on the spot, this most recent candidate that we have for, who now is going to be confirmed, I guess, to be the next Supreme Court judge, justice. She was asked to define what a woman is. Well, I'm not a biologist. I don't know how to define a woman. I don't know. That's I'm not going to go there. Really? So we're supposed to believe that you're going to stand up for women's rights. You're going to, somehow protect the legal rights of all individuals, hopefully. Not going to happen as you're an activist. But the rights of women or just black women or just that, how is that? How do you know how do you define a black woman then? Because that's part of a woman. How you define the black part, I guess, huh? But you can't define what the woman part is. What I would say is, if you're going to, if you can't define what a woman is because you're not a biologist, here's an important thing to probably be able to do. How do you define when life begins? Because that is in the Constitution. You don't have the right to be a woman, but you do have the right to be alive. You have the right to life, liberty, in the pursuit of happiness. How do you define life? When does life begin? And when does it have protection under the Constitution? How about that? Well, I'm not a biologist. Well, you're going to be making those decisions. So how can we define you? How can we, accept you as a justice if you can't define when life begins? Because I guarantee you have a definition yourself. You're just not letting us know what it is. And what it is when a person's viable. Well, now, I've been hearing other people make this argument. I actually was saying this, weeks ago. Well, you have to be viable outside the womb. Life has to be viable. It can't be dependent on the mother. Oh. Has to be viable. Let's see. There's a lot of people living on welfare. I would say they're not viable. And actually, from the leftist mentality, if you take it all the way to the extreme, they would say, yeah, those people should be eliminated. That's the way communism works. If you're not doing your fair share, from each according to his ability to each according to his need, well, you have more ability than you're not giving of all your ability, so you don't get anything. So you're not viable. We will have to eliminate you. This is the way communism works. They get rid of those who are challenged in life. This is what they want to do. And it's how you define you're a danger to the mother. The pregnancy could endanger the mother. There was a really good answer by a woman recently that she's introducing a bill that basically would make all abortion illegal. And this guy was asking, so this is a radical bill. So even in this, what about in the case of, it doesn't even provide a provision for, in the case of rape and incest. She said, if we take that out, will you vote for it? No, of course not. Then what's the point? Why are you even asking the question? That's not really what your issue is. You're just trying to make her look. You're just trying to vilify her. And you're the villain. But you're trying to make her, trying to put it back on her. Because it wouldn't matter to you, whether it or not. But I digress. Because that's what I do. That's what I do best. I digress a lot. I'm really good at it. So keep in mind, when you hear the Republicans saying the kind of things that they're saying, Republicans, Democrats, saying the kind of things that they're saying about, they know their time is short. They may not win this election, and they're concerned about it. Keep in mind that they can become very desperate. They are getting very desperate. You can hear it in this guy's voice when the audio that I played. You can hear it in his voice. They're getting desperate because they know the economy is not going to get better in the next few months before the election. Things are, it's like a train going downhill and there's nobody at the wheel. It's just picking up speed and getting worse. We're talking about $10 a gallon gas before the end of the year, by the end of the summer. This is just unbelievably ridiculous. And of course, they're going to win by a landslide. The Republicans are going to win by a landslide. But what are they defining? They're not defining who they are. They're not defining their platform. They're not running on anything other than we're not them. And I think that's going to work. Well, that doesn't work with the way these Democrats operate, because they are going to define you. They're going to pin all this racial stuff on you. And eventually, and that's not going to come off. You need to nip this stuff in the bud now. They're trying to scare you with this stuff, trying to make you disassociate from all these, from everything that they're trying to pin on you. That's not going to work. Trying to manipulate you. You need to stand up for it, for what they're saying, against what they're saying. Just call them out. They're the ones who make race about everything. They're the ones that bring it up all the time and take for granted and push people down. So there we are. Here we are. The Republicans need to stand up, define who they are, make it very clear that they're not about all this stuff. They're just sitting back and letting that happen because they know they're going to win. They supposedly think they're going to win. Here's the problem, though. Desperation can make people do some really crazy things. And I'm a little bit concerned as we get closer to the elections and they realize they're going to lose. They think that they're so scared of what of this. They've made this monster in their head. Donald Trump and all of his followers are this massive monster that they're so scary. They're scary. They're all white supremacists. And anything that they can do or is justified in stopping the monster, what are they willing to do? That's the question. How crazy will they get? Pray for that nation, folks. God bless. Have a great weekend.